What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that he even does such mighty works that are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and John, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin in his own house. Lord, bless your word today, Jesus' name. This is kind of an astonishing, real, down-to-earth, practical story that God put in the Bible. Now, you would think that if someone was teaching Revelation, wisdom flowed from them, and doing miracles, you would think that person would be honored. I want to tie in for a moment the relationship between honor and being offended. The Greek word for offense is scandalizo, from the word we get scandal. Now, there's two meanings of scandal. Like, you hear a scandal, someone did something in some office, and they did. Now, I'm talking about, there's another definition in the Greek word for scandalizo. It means to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust. So, let me say that again. This word here, offense here, to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust. Jesus said it this way, John 8:49. I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. You know, we live in a day where we need to relearn that every man, every woman, no matter what race, is made in the image of God. We are to honor everyone that's made in God's image. That's one of the major problems that people are dealing with. They're not honoring the person made in God's image. You know, Jesus said this in Luke 17. Then said he unto his disciples, that's you and me, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. In other words, there's no way to live in this life without being offended. Your family will offend you. Sometimes your friends will offend you. Sometimes other sources will offend you. He said, listen, it's going to happen. But the person that sets out to bring an offense from their heart, there's judgment attached to that. Apparently, God puts a big premium on those who honor others. They will come, Jesus said. Turn to somebody and say, they will come. I guarantee in the last 6 months, you've probably heard somebody say, well, I'm offended. Maybe you said it. All of us have ample opportunities to be offended. That does not mean that if I feel the offense and I could offend, that doesn't mean that I'm going to give in to the offense. We are to live above that. That does not mean they're not going to come. It just means I refuse to let anybody on this earth to cause me to be offended. Because people that are offended, you got to hear me now. I'm just talking to you. I'm not preaching today. People that carry an offense have shut the door to God's throne. Now, they can come if they ask for mercy. God is not going to answer my prayer if I'm harboring an offense. Because the root of it is unforgiveness. So I've got to learn how to process this. I'm telling you, through my life, some of the things that people have done, offended, said things that weren't true, I tell you, some of them hurt a little bit, some of them hurt a lot. And I had to go to my father. Father, I know the servant is not greater than the master. And Jesus said, if they did it to the master, they'll do it to the servant. So I go to Isaiah 53. Someone who completely innocent was what? Talked about, misused. But I'm not going to live there. Amen. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know what he's saying there? No one wins when there's offenses. People are separated today, like we talked Wednesday night about walls. You are going to have people say things to offend you. There's no way about it. There's no way unless you just live in a monastery somewhere. You will have things hit your life that will try to offend you. What are we going to do about it, church? There's enough division in the body of Christ now. We've got to find what Jesus was saying here. I've talked to many brothers and sisters over the years that have been offended. And this scripture is so true. After an hour or two, they still won't give it up. Hey, man, just forgive me. Come on, man. It's not worth it. You don't have to stay offended. Because I believe that's the enemy's ploy. I believe that's how he gets in, with bitterness. You know, something about sheep, they cannot live by themselves. They're one of the most vulnerable animals in existence. And people think, well, I can be off, away from the fold, away from the shepherd. Not true. You haven't read your Bible. Every sheep needs a shepherd. We cannot, you know, remake the pattern because I was offended. I've had people over the year, well, the church hurt me, and this hurt me, and that hurt me, and this. I mean, you know what? A building didn't hurt you. It was somebody in the building, and maybe they ran their mouth when they shouldn't have. But if you think, I'm going to leave the house of God because someone has a motor mouth, you're kidding. My commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom is not based on even if someone comes up and hurts my feelings deliberately. My commitment isn't to that person. It's to my Savior. Amen? Brother offended is harder to be won. Doesn't mean you can't win him. So what is he saying again in that verse? There's no winners when we walk around offended, because that offense will take you out of where you should be. Romans 14:21, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor any other whereby your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. I remember in Pennsylvania we had a couple, and they had a lot of money. They had lake houses, million-dollar houses, and, you know, whatever. But, you know, they just like to drink. Sipping Saints, fine, no problem. But then they started inviting people in their church up to their house. Okay, well, I'm not a control freak. People can do what they want, except one of the persons they did was an ex-alcoholic. Fell off the wagon because of that, ended up in prison for 5 years, and I won't tell you why, but anyway. And I had mentioned in my office, please do not ask people up there, because Paul talks about being offended. They didn't do what I said anyway. Paul said, I'm not going to do anything that's going to offend my brother. You know, it's not only doing things or saying things. We've got to be, see, love has a sensitivity to it. Love, before it speaks, thinks, this is my brother or sister whom Christ died. I got to be careful, because even though I might have an opinion over here, if I say things to offend, then God's not going to say, oh, well, they're just having a bad day, they should have received it. No, love thinks about what it says and the consequences thereof to another person. I've always tried to go on this premise. When I talk to people, I don't try to first talk to them intellectually. I don't first try to talk to them emotionally. I always have the premise to try to talk to people heart to heart. Our problem today is that because of culture, because of technology, we don't have to have a close relationship. We are losing, and the younger generation's really losing this. We are losing a connectiveness with each other that's not heart to heart. It's text to text. It's email to email. But the problem with that, and thank God for it, is that if I never have a heart to heart with somebody, I will be more inclined to judge them or judge their opinions, but I really don't know them. And when that happens, that's when offense comes. Psalm 119:165 says, I love this, great peace have they which love your law. Nothing shall offend them. Great peace shall be those that love the word of God. Paul said, I'm not going to do anything to make my brother offend. I'm not going to say anything because I love that person. They might be right. I might be wrong. I might be right. They might be wrong. Their opinion might be not what I think, but because of love, I don't want to leave the relationship and find out they don't want to talk to me again. That's not how we grow in the body of Christ. Nothing shall offend them. Now, we need to have a strategy. Everybody say a strategy. I want to give you three strategies. Number one, when someone either says something to offend you, or you watch something on television, or you watch the news, or at work, someone comes, say something. Number one, we need to have such discernment that an alarm goes off. The alarm is for you. Because you don't want to take their offense. You don't want to pick up their offense. We need to have a Holy Ghost alarm. And this person is saying this to try to convince you that you're wrong, they're right. And if you don't agree with them, they'll be offended and then you'll be offended. So we need to have an alarm system in our spirit. You need to have an alarm system, sometimes around your family. I remember when I first got saved. Good old Catholic boy on his way to hell. I remember calling my mom, and her mom was a Catholic, and her mom, and, Mom, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. What are you into, a cult? Mom, I know Jesus. I finally found him. You're a Catholic. What are you into? A cult? No, it's the end of the conversation. None of my family talked to me for a year. Now, that's kind of offended, isn't it? But you know what? The Jesus that saved me, raised me. The Jesus that saved me said, stay strong, son. Because a year later, my mom, my little brother, my other brother came down to Rock Church in Virginia Beach and they all got saved and baptized. But it was a year. They thought I was in a cult, kind of not similar to our opening text. But, you know, isn't he Mary, the, you know, son? I mean, who is he? I mean, I know he just did a miracle over here. I know he's teaching Revelation, but so what? We're offended. What? I mean, the elevator's not going all the way up to the top floor, really? They said, well, he can't be the Son of God. Well, he just proved it. I've learned this around people. I don't have to prove anything. I've been around people, and you get in their presence, and you can just tell they're just everything you're just watching. Just every word. You know, I'm done with that. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to try to be someone else's image of who they think I should be as a preacher. I don't have to try to come to a standard that they've had because maybe they have put a standard on preachers or Christians. Whatever. Listen, you and I need to be free of that junk. Because it's dishonoring to be in the company of someone and they're sizing you up. And I'm talking about church folks. The number one reason of offense and people leaving the church is comparison. Comparison comes from familiarity. Being too familiar with somebody breeds contempt. Contempt is the agent the devil uses to separate many people. Please don't size anybody up. Please don't compare your brother or sister to someone else. Please don't compare this church, this ministry with someone else, because all we're doing is opening the door to be offended. Well, this church over here, they have smoke machines. Over here, they give candy away. We don't do that. I'm offended. Believe me, there's people who'd be offended if their kids don't get the crackers at the right time in the nursery. Folks, you'd be amazed at some stories. Well, I'm leaving. Really? Don't blame the church. Jesus said there's going to be opportunities for offenses. But don't be one of those that cause it. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, don't be alarmed. I mean, we go months and months and sometimes nothing happens. We're not offended, but then all of a sudden it hits us. And we're not, because it's not all the time, we're taken back. But just let an alarm go off. Say, okay, warning, just be careful what's said to you, what you're saying. The second thing is, don't be blind. Know who is more prone to offend. Know what will offend you and run from it. Don't say, well, how am I waking up on Monday and I'm offended and I'm hurt? Well, the enemy slept. The Bible says seeds were planted in the field that brought weeds. Don't be blind. Don't hang out with everybody. If you know that they're going to just talk about everything negative, guess what? You're going to be talking negative too. Don't be blind to things. The third thing, and I think this is one of the most important, don't be angry. Anger is a sign that the offense went from my mind to my heart, and now I'm angry. Anger that is not based on a righteous anger towards sin, if it's another anger, then it must be carefully processed. If not, that anger will take me out of the will of God. There are people out of the will of God because of offense, and they've become angry and they won't forgive. They are out of, don't tell me not going to church is the will of God. I understand the virus. I understand sickness. I'm just talking about I'm done with church. That's not the will of God, folks. As you see the day approaching, come together more. That's the word of God. But there are people that are sitting home angry at the church, angry at the deacon, angry at this, and their kids are there, and they're going to get that spirit on them. And they're going to wonder why, when they're teenagers, they want nothing to do with the church or preachers. Because I heard some discussions in our home that they ought not have heard because we're offended. No one liked me. No one shook my hand. No one smiled. Yeah. Don't be angry. Don't let anger take you out of the will of God. You see, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, Jonah was angry. You can tell he didn't say he was angry at the beginning, but let's go all the way to the end of the chapters. He's angry under a tree. The reason he was angry and the reason he left and would not go and to Nineveh, or would not go to Tarshish, because he didn't like those people. He said, listen, they are cruel people. I don't like them. I don't like who they are. I'm not going over there and preach love to them. They need judgment. And because he was angry and not full of the love and mercy of God, God had to put him in a fish tomb for 3 days. I don't want God to have to deal with me that way. I'm here to spread the love of God. I'm here to spread the mercy of God. Judgment is in God's hands. That's His hat, not mine. I can't take judgment and not be offended. I'm not made that way. I am made to release people, even though they sin, they don't like things. I release them to the mercy of God. of God. So Jonah was angry. He said, I'm not going because I don't like those people. They are cruel. They're not of my race. They're not of my culture. I don't like them. God says, okay, but I'm going to show you, Jonah, I'm bigger than you are. I'm going to show you that if left to yourself, if I leave you to yourself, Jonah, you will die out of my will and face judgment. So God prepared a big fish. And people laughed and scoffed at that for all centuries, that couldn't happen, until in the late 1800s, a man on a whaling ship fell overboard, was swallowed by a whale, and 2 days later they got the whale and he was still alive. Google it. So he was angry. Well, God put him in that whale tomb for 3 days. He came out all bleached. I mean, he was probably white as a ghost, his clothes bleached. No wonder when he was walking through the streets and said, repent, they all turned to him. They said, what is this, a ghost? But he still was angry. He went up. Now look at this. He went up on the hill and overlooked the city and got him a Pepsi and a peanut patty. And he was just waiting for God to burn up that city. No mercy in him. No love in him. And when God didn't burn it up, he became so angry. God said, I'm going to teach you something. He let a gourd come up and shade him. Then it died overnight. He said, let me tell you something, Jonah. You're so concerned about a plant that lives for 24 hours, but you don't care for people. You don't honor this different race. You don't honor this different people that I made in my image. And because of that, you never hear from Jonah again. His ministry stopped. No more prophecies. We don't even know how he died. Do you want to die offended? I don't. Do you want to ask the Holy Spirit to search the root of anger, irritation? You don't want anybody around you? Well, somewhere you're offended and you've not processed it. Angry about this? Last time I look, every human being on this earth needs the mercy of God. In fact, Jesus said, pray for your enemies. And pray for those who despitefully use you. What? We're so far from that. We want God to burn them up like Jonah. Well, guess what? We know if they don't receive Christ, they are going to face that. He said, I don't want you to take my job. Your job is not to be the judge. Your job is to show mercy, kindness, because it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. We've got to live above being offended. Amen? This year is a crucial year for everything. People are going to be offended. Who wins the election? Who doesn't win the election? Listen, I'm not looking for a man. I'm looking for God to do something. We should not let anything separate us or offend us. God gives us a choice. Amen. Well, do your choice. But if someone chooses differently, you cannot build a wall and judge that they made a wrong decision. I can't do that either. That is going to cause an offense. And I know I'm talking turkey here, but it's time. We either are going to come together and see the unity of the Spirit and see God's move on this earth, or we're going to be like the Corinthian church. When Paul came, he said, listen, one of you says I'm of Apollos and I'm of Cephas. He said, what are you talking about? There's divisions among you. But he ties it in also. He said, I'd like to talk to you as mature, but you're not mature because you cannot discern that this is all about Jesus Christ and not about individual ideologies. It's about God and Christ, and that's where God wants to grow us up as the church so nothing will offend us. Oh, yeah. I had a year when no one would talk to me because I was in a cult. Really? I was strung out on drugs, suicidal, and God saved me, my haircut. I'm going to church with my Bible, and that's a cult. My family is very judgmental. My family is very busybodies, very gossip, just... And I never thought that would hit home to me. Thank God His mercy came and His love came. What is the Rock Church of Petersburg? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to use our time and offend one another by choices? Are we going to put stuff on the media and hurt other believers? Are we going to post stuff that we know that's going to hurt somebody else? Why would we do that? Why would we do that when life is so precious? Say something about love. Say something about mercy. Say something about, I know God's going to make a way for us. I know God's going to come in the midst of darkness and chaos and bring people together through the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I won't do anything that's going to offend my brother. I won't say anything. And mostly, I'm not going to project anything but love. Thank God my family came and got saved, because I'll be honest, if they hadn't, I probably wouldn't even gone home for a while. I'd have to grow for some more grace. How about you today? How long has it been since you said, I'm offended? There are people sitting at home that should be in the house today. They've got offended. They weren't chosen to be the deacon. They weren't chosen for this. Someone bypassed him. Well, maybe God was just testing the waters. God tries the heart. Promotion comes from the Lord. You know, God will put you like 17 years with Joseph before he promotes you. Who am I talking to? You see, he was a haircut and shave away. There's nowhere in the Bible that says everything is a skip through the park as a believer. In the early church, they were taking people and throwing them to the Colosseum, families. And Saul was there and he was dividing, making havoc of the church. No, it's not easy today. But it's a lot harder when I embrace being offended. Listen, the devil is sly. And I'm going to close with this. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his schemes. He's taken a lot of people out because they've been offended. They're sitting at home watching for the fifth time reruns of the Super Bowl, reruns of the fishing tournament, but no peace, no joy. And my heart breaks for them. I believe God's given this church a spirit of reconciliation and restoration. And you and I can only restore to the degree we're living above all things. Never get in agreement with someone's offense. Oh, yeah, I disagreed. I can't believe that either. I can't believe that, how you're treated. Don't ever get in agreement. Now, you can say, yeah, that is wrong. But don't get in agreement with the hurt of the offense. Say, you know what, let's pray for that person right now. I remember Bishop John years ago, and Pastor Rosie might, maybe he told this story with the ministers, maybe Pastor Sandra remembered. I remember that he was in a meeting with somebody, and he was just, the person was just running this person down, telling him, and finally Bishop John, he goes, let's stop and pray for him right now. The person was like, what do you mean? I just want to keep. He said, no, let's pray for him right now and move on. Well, the person got upset and left. Because we don't think that way. We want to be a victim. We all could be a victim. I got my victim stories. I've got Absalom's, my past. Listen, we're in a crucial hour. We've got to live above offense. Family offense, friends, church. History is being written right now in the church. See, the book of Acts has no ending because it's still being written. We're part of that history. The cloud of witnesses in heaven is looking down at this hour and say, you know, we had it hard too, the Romans, but look at this hour they're living in. You know, we had it hard back then, but we didn't have pornography that is just flooding the world. We didn't have the divorce rates. We didn't have the abortion rate. We didn't have the suicide rate. Wow, how are those saints down there staying strong? So when we get to heaven, we'll all be heroes. You might say, David, how'd you kill the giant? We'll say, Bill, how did you get through the darkest time you faced? You are special. And you are important. And you're made in the image of God. But not everybody's going to treat you right. Not everybody's going to treat me right. And I've learned that. I've learned to forgive quickly. And I've learned to place that person at the foot of the cross and walk away. How did you learn it, Pastor? In a book? No. The hard way. I've harbored things I shouldn't. I've talked about people I shouldn't. But I pray at the journey marker I'm at now that I've learned three things. Offenses will come. They'll come from sources I never thought. And it always causes me to renew my heart to God and my commitment to man, not to judge them, but to release them and pray for them that they'll be turned from their ways. God, help us in this hour to be reconciled. God, help us, those that have been offended, to give them love and mercy. Say, we understand life isn't fair. We understand. We understand that that was wrong. But can I offer you a bridge? Can I build a bridge? We got too many people that are bridge burners, not bridge builders. Those people over there that are hurt and offended and won't come to the house and won't talk about God anymore. They used to praise God. They used to be on the worship team. They need a bridge built over here. And what happened to them might have been wrong. It might have been cruel. But still, I don't want them to die over there. I want to build a bridge over here. But I can't build a bridge if I'm still offended. I want to build a bridge. That's what Jesus did. Judas, you betray the Son of God with a kiss. He said, friend. He tried to build a bridge. Why are you doing this? Peter, lovest thou me, Peter? You were offended, weren't you, at the fire? Jesus said, this night all men will be offended because of it. He goes, nah, I'm not going to be offended. And sometimes we get in that posture, oh, I never get offended. That's what you do. That's what you do with it. All men will be offended. I'll never offend you, Lord. I don't get offended. Yeah, you do. Sin is coming out of the process. So he goes to Peter, and I'm going to close with this. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yeah, I love you. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yes, I love you. Peter, the first two didn't come from your heart. The first two came from your religious mindset of what you think you should say to please me. But Peter, I want it from your hearts. Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. He loved Jesus today. Not just for Peter. Father, we thank you this morning as we make an altar right where we're sitting. Forgive us for harboring offense. Forgive us for offending others, knowingly or unknowingly. May we have an alarm system today when we begin to tread where we could put a stumbling block in a brother or sister's way. You said, taste not, touch not, want not. Come out and be separate. Lord, help us to be separate from things that offend. Help us to pray for those that have despitefully used us. Help us to see every man, every woman, every child, every race made in the image of God to be honored as children of God. And may this house, like the commercial said, be a safe place and a home for those that are hurting. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we stand up this morning? This is God of praise. Amen. Come on, give him a real shout.